2:30 this afternoon in Washington, D.C., President Reagan and staff members, escorted by the Secret Service, leave the Washington Hilton Hotel. A fusillade of shots fired at close range. The president is hit, then thrown into his car by an agent, his press secretary wounded in the head, a Secret Service man and a policeman wounded, a gunman captured.
This is NBC Nightly News. With John Chancellor in New York and Chief Washington Correspondent Roger Mudd.
Good evening. Here's the latest. The president is still in surgery. His condition is described as good, and the doctors are optimistic. He was able to walk into the hospital under his own power, even though a single assassin's bullet had entered his left side and penetrated his left lung. The presidential press secretary, James Brady, was shot in the head and is in extremely critical condition. The outlook is not good. Chris Wallace reports from the George Washington University Hospital.
The latest official word came at 6:06 p.m. Eastern Time from presidential spokesman Lynn Nofziger. He said the president's condition is good and that he will be out of surgery, quote, shortly, and that he has not undergone open heart surgery. The White House has provided almost no medical information this afternoon, but a radio reporter who sneaked into the hospital at around 3 o'clock talked with a staff doctor. He reported that according to this doctor, the bullet entered Mr. Reagan's left side and missed his heart by 1 inch. That 30 units of blood were rushed to the president's operating suite, and the tubes were inserted into the president's chest to drain off blood. The doctor told the radio reporter the situation appears, quote, serious, but not insurmountable. As for Press Secretary Jim Brady, Nofziger called reports that he had died, quote, absolutely untrue. But he said that Brady has sustained a serious head wound. The radio reporter quoted an intern as telling him, quote, the prognosis on Brady is not good. Few people survive such a wound. There is one hopeful note about the president. Nofziger said that as Mr. Reagan was being wheeled into surgery, he turned to his wife, he was fully conscious, turned to his wife, Mrs. Reagan, and said, honey, I forgot to duck. And that as he entered the operating room, he said to the doctors there, please tell me you're Republicans. Chris Wallace, NBC News at the George Washington Medical Center.
All right, well, just a kind of a touch of history this morning, because that's that hotel, Washington Hilton, is the hotel where we have been for the last several days. It has been the site of the Faith and Freedom Coalition's annual conference, this one called Road to Victory. But before I talk about that, I want to go back to that clip with Ronald Reagan. Wasn't that amazing to hear Chris Wallace? That was 1981, March 30th of 1981. It happened right outside the hotel. I remember it so very well. You can still see the wall. It's kind of a stone wall. He's getting into the limo, and all of this takes place. And by the way, Jim Brady, his press secretary, was wounded terribly, has been in a wheelchair his entire life now. And he and his wife have been now anti-gun rights advocates. It's amazing. That flipped them in a very interesting way. President Reagan nearly died in that incident, but after he recovered, he downplayed it always. And I'm not sure that people ever really understood how close he really came to dying. And of course, it was traumatic for all of us because most of us had lived through President Kennedy being assassinated. And it just was a horrible remembrance of that. And the other thing, just a personal thing, a Secret Service agent got between a bullet and President Reagan and actually saved his life. And his name was Agent Tim McCarthy. Tim went on to be a prosecutor in Chicago, and I had a chance to meet and interview him and get to know him. So it's just that's a personal thing to me. But the whole story about the attempted assassination is something that's kind of an imprint on the nation, but I think downplayed in history, and I wanted you to know about that. Well, so we've been in the Washington Hilton. We were there for about four days. And I was on Radio Row gathering all kinds of interviews, which is what I really love doing in person. And you're going to be the beneficiary of a lot of those interactions in the next few days. Of course, Ralph Reed is the founder and chairman of Faith and Freedom Coalition. But guests like Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Kristi Noem was the keynote speaker at one of the evenings. Glenn Youngkin, Carrie Lake was there, Ben Carson. And lots of really fine people. But I caught up with my good friend Todd Starnes, among others. But I started with Todd. And I know if you listen to this broadcast, by the way, it's Sandy Rios 24/7, in case you've forgotten. If you listen to this, you know that Todd is a good friend because I've interviewed him many times before. And He's had me on his show on Newsmax and interviewed me many times. We know each other well. But I have to tell you that this interview was different. Todd and I started talking about really actually personal things, and he told me personal things about his things that had happened in his life that I had never heard. And I found it gripping. And so this is the one we're going to play for you first from the Faith and Freedom Coalition. But first, you know that you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can call us and leave us a message, and we always listen to them, and we will be using as many as we can on the air. Our email address is sandy@afr.net. You can reach us on, you know, all the social media platforms, Facebook and Instagram and Getter and Truth Social and Twitter. Also, you can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform. AFR.net is our home base, and you can listen there, but you can go to Spotify and all the others if you would care to listen in that way. Apple. Also, you can go to sandyrios.com and listen very easily. Well, it's been 2 years since Roe versus Wade was overturned. And of course, during the time it was the law, over 65 million babies had their lives taken, with thousands more now taken every single day. Preborn honors these precious babies who never had a chance to take their first breath. Who would they have become? Every one of them was special. We've lost an entire generation. And with the abortion pill now accounting for 64% of abortions, ending a baby's life is all too convenient. And that's why every day, Preborn's network of clinics stands strong for these little defenseless babies, offering love, support, and a free ultrasound to introduce moms with unplanned pregnancies to the life growing inside of them. Once she sees her baby and hears the heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life. Will you join Preborn to help these save these babies' lives and really impact their mothers in life-changing ways? If you would be willing to join us, and I know many of you already have, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, today's a day where you can sit back and relax and enjoy this really, really personal interview with Todd Starnes on Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something. This is Sandy Rios, and this very noisy place is the Washington Hilton. It's really downtown in Washington, D.C. I haven't been here in such a long time. This is the hotel where Ronald Reagan was shot. And if you go back in history, you'll see scenes of it. But it's a beautiful place, and we're here for the Road to Victory Conference. And across from me is a familiar face, someone I always enjoy interviewing because he's a friend who encourages me. And this morning we're both stressed, so this will be good. Todd Starnes, thank you for joining me.
I haven't got my coffee yet, Sandy, so I really probably should not be doing radio right now.
I know, you know, my
good
husband...
Good Lord, that's huge!
My husband ran to the room to get me this Diet Coke because I haven't had anything this morning either.
Wow.
So, here, but I won't drink it in front of you. If you can't have your coffee,
I'll
do without my...
I will sacrifice for you, Sandy.
You had an early flight, right?
Oh, wow, sure did. And on an American Airlines 737, I'm just glad I arrived. So that was good news.
Oh, yeah, because of all those hearings about the flights and all that thing.
Well, that and the panels blowing out, and you don't want to get sucked out of an airplane. But
you know, that's not a good way to go. But
no.
Those Boeing hearings the other day were frightening with all the problems.
Insanity.
They're having. And you know what? The story on the street is that it's personnel. It's that it's not Boeing, and no one wants to say that.
Well, I think that's a big problem across America, is the diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Exactly.
and the impact it's having.
Right.
And I know our James O'Keefe just the other day had the big Disney expose interviewing a Disney executive who admitted, yeah, you know, we don't hire white guys anymore, and we don't hire white men. And so it just seems to me, I don't care what your skin color is, I just want you to be able to, like, fly the airplane from point A to point B and get my luggage to me.
Well, and the way the left feels is they don't care if they know how to fly,
right,
as long as they have the right skin color. So it's really, it's or gender-esque or whatever in between you fill
may,
in.
May I tell you how awesome your book is? You know, we had you on like months ago when it came out, and I finally got around to finishing the book. It is just really an amazing story.
Gosh, Todd, thank you. Thank you. Coming from you, who a man who knows so many stories and tells them so beautifully, I'm really honored. I really am.
Well, it's a terrific book, and I hear it's doing well, and, you know, that's, you know, it's the longevity of the book, which, you know, you've got. It's a great story. Great read.
Thank you. It just, I haven't even told my listeners, it just came out on Audible. So,
did you do the book?
I did the book. Did you ever do your book?
So let me tell you
about
this.
So let's talk about this.
Let's talk about this. Because I'm thinking, I talk for 3 hours a day. Piece
yes,
of cake.
Piece of cake, right?
By chapter two, I'm like, who wrote this? This is terrible. It's true.
It's really brutal. It's very different reading it.
So,
isn't it?
It is, but they have a guy reading my book, and I said, you know what, just hire somebody. And they hired somebody who sounds like he's from the North, and it's hard for the Northerner to understand concepts like smoking a pork butt or what does slobber knocker
smoking
mean.
A pork
yes,
butt. And so I went to a barbecue, and I can imagine.
I'm like, I felt like I was like in Vermont NPR. I'm like, what is this?
Do you know, I love to listen to Audible. I listen to lots of books. I think this was the biography of Mark Twain, and they had a woman reading it. His voice. In his voice.
Is that right?
Yes. And I said, I can't do this.
Did you know, we are so far in the weeds, I don't even know what we're talking about.
I don't know
Mark
about
Twain. Did you know that Mark Twain was like a massive cat lover? And he had three cats, and they were named Sackcloth, and the twins were named Ashes.
Ashes.
Yeah, that's a, honest to God, I was reading that this morning on the plane. So.
Well, that explains a lot. I never got to that part of the book because, you see, it was a female reading it. You know, since we're talking about such important things, this is fun. Why not? That book was so hard to read. I did not expect it. Of course, it's different when it's your personal story,
sure,
and when you're reading a story about writing a book about issues, which you did. And I think the emotion of it. I had written it, and I had emotion when I wrote it, but when I tried to read it, I had a lot of problems. It was hard.
Yes, I haven't written. My publisher was like, you know, we need to start thinking about maybe putting together a memoir, and I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. It's hard, and I mean, you wrote the book. I mean, you had to go back, and you just unleashed it all on the pages. And I'm not sure. That takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of skill. I don't know. I'm still thinking about it.
Well, as I said in the opening of the book, I never wanted to do it, Todd.
Mm.
There's some things. Sometimes things change. You just get perspective. I just didn't want to do it. So anyway, enough about that. But thank you for that compliment. Okay, so again, now here we are to business. Are you going to speak tomorrow right before President Trump speaks, right?
Yeah, that's right. And then we're doing a book signing, and I'll be talking about I'm bringing a message of hope. And I'm seeing things in the culture that excite me. That people are starting to stand up and push back. And I want to give some examples of those tomorrow and really encourage people to read the book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, which is actually based on a speech Ronald Reagan delivered many years ago. And he said, if you go back and look at our national anthem, there's not a declaration in the anthem. It's a question. Is the flag still there? Even till the very end of that verse, you know, is the flag there? Does the Star-Spangled Banner still wave? And it's really a question I think that every generation of Americans, we have to answer that question. Can we still see the flag flying? Have we done our part to secure and defend freedom for the next generation?
So, again, yeah, I was going to say that your book is Twilight's Last Gleaming. I'm sorry I didn't get to that yet. Can America Be Saved? And we've talked about it on the air, but kind of give us an idea of what you think it can be, and you say that in the book. Give people hope, you know, Todd, if you can. Well, how can you believe that? Because I know a lot of people are not sure of that right now.
Well, I think it goes back through to our heritage as Christians. And, you know, I believe that our nation was meant to be a Christian nation. And through our faith, we can go through all sorts of adversity. And, yeah, things are getting really tough here, but it's not nearly as bad as being fed to the lions. So we're not to that point yet. But even still, you know, the Christians of the early Christians and the faith and the courage and the perseverance they had, we're going to have to start embracing that. I think it's only going to get worse. I think there are going to be continued attacks on the culture, on religion. And I think it's really going to be imperative to, and I borrowed a quote from John Adams in the book. He was a big letter writer, John Adams, and he wrote a letter to his wife, Abigail, and right in the throes of the Revolutionary War. And he says, in spite of the gloom and chaos, I still see the rays of ravishing light and glory. So I thought that was interesting because, and he was able to write that because John Adams, a man of deep and abiding faith, knew that his Redeemer lives.
It's funny you should say that, Todd, because as I said, I love to listen to books on Audible, and I just finished McCullough's book on John Adams. I had the book, and I've seen the series, but I've just been living in this book. I listened to it over and over again, and the thing that struck me is that men have never changed. They had the same kind of problems in the first decade, the first 20 years or decades of the of government. They saw the same things. They had rivalries. They had treacheries, betrayals. John Adams was treated horribly. They said the worst things about him, Todd. And yet he was a man who really did give all.
Well, he did. And I go back, so I'm a huge fan of that series, and I actually rewatched it before I wrote the book, and Paul Giamatti, I think, just did a remarkable job as John Adams. But anyway, fast forward, there's a new series out called Franklin, on Benjamin Franklin. HBO just came out with it, and it's interesting to see the portrayal of Adams, because there really was this unpleasantness between Benjamin Franklin and John Adams. They didn't like each other.
Right. And when they were both in France, they learned things about each other they didn't like, I guess.
Yes.
They lived together for a time, and
So, you know, Franklin was a little, you know, he was a free spirit, if you will.
Yes.
But it was interesting to see, because that whole series portrayed John Adams in a very negative light. But even though he was portrayed in a negative light, for me, he came across as the good guy, because I knew his perspective, his Christian worldview.
I felt the same way about McCullough. Didn't exactly praise Adams. There was like a tendency to kind of snark about him, but I picked it up too. It's like he was a committed Christian, so he was like a square peg who would not be forced into a round hole. And he was very, very open about what he believed was right, and he fought. He was kind of thorn in their flesh with Jefferson too.
Adamantly opposed to slavery, by the way.
Opposed to slavery, and he was just a stalwart until he died in his 80s. I couldn't believe it, but anyway, I recommend that book. And the point you were trying to make is he suffered so much, he gave so much. He and his wife were separated for so many years. He was in France, and then he was in England, and he's had another post in Holland, and then he was down in Philadelphia, away from his home in Boston. So they suffered a lot in separation.
And, of course, the son became an alcoholic and died. It was just a tragedy. I mean, there were tragedies, but he still stayed true to the faith. And that really is the call to action in Twilight's Last Gleaming.
Yeah. You know, I was, it is true, Todd, that, and I'll speak for myself. You know, I come from tough stock. You've read my book. I do. My folks were very steadfast and hardworking and just never gave up. And that's true, and it's part of my blood, but still, I'm in a softer generation, and I'm softer. And I think about, all the time, I try to ask myself, all right, so if someone comes knocking at my door and dragging me out to jail, I got to be ready for that. I have to be ready for that. I have to hold everything in my home loosely, my comforts, and I try to talk to myself about that. I try to be ready. But I think it's going to be really hard.
When you look at how they're treating President Trump, I mean, that is the ultimate goal. They want to drag him out of Mar-a-Lago, leave him out on the sidewalk with a couple of suitcases, and they want the man to lose everything. And I find it interesting when you actually step back and look at what President Trump is doing, and I don't have any inside knowledge on this, but it just seems to me that he has considered the cost, and he has determined this is worth it, because had he just retired back to Florida and played golf, he would not be facing any of these charges. He would be not be a convicted felon right now.
No, and live a very comfortable life. He could have gone overseas and lived somewhere in one of his, you know, islands and had his kids do his business. He could have done a lot of things, but I think people just don't say that, Todd.
Yeah.
The sacrifice. I mean, he truly is. I don't care, in spite of all, yes, name all of his bad things, please, you know, line them up. But people don't ever line up the incredible things he does.
Right.
Self-sacrificial. He is really a patriot for our time.
Giving up, you know, he never took a salary, and then they said, well, you can't do that, I'll take a dollar. You know, so I think that's what he made during the 4 years in the White House, $4. And the stories that you hear that are not well publicized about the president being somewhere, someone's in need, or he sees somebody who needs a helping hand, and he goes over and he gives a helping hand, lends a helping hand. Those are the kinds of stories that give you some insight into who Donald Trump really is.
Did you see that? There was an old video that surfaced last week. It was from Maury Povich from 100 years ago, and he was interviewing a little...
Wow, I forgot that name. Oh, my gosh.
See, I remembered something. Anyway, so he was interviewing this little girl who had a very horrible illness that was going to take her life. Mm. And Donald Trump was watching. So on this particular show, she's there with her mother, and they call him, and he's on camera with them, and he says to her, whatever her name is, maybe Madeline, you're a very beautiful little girl, and I understand you have some special issues, and I thought maybe I could help. My name is Donald. That's what he said. My name is just so sweet. And I don't know how much, but he gave them a huge check.
Wow.
To pay for her medical care, just all kinds of things to make her life easier.
He, it's funny, when he calls into the show, it comes on about once a month on the national show. And when he calls in, it always throws our call screener off, because she'll answer the phone. It's like, hello, this is Donald. Is Todd there? You know, just kind of like he's calling to shoot the breeze, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
ah. He's not arrogant.
No.
Isn't that something that's rare in our circles.
So this is yes. And so this for me was a bellwether moment. A couple of weeks ago, he was in Detroit doing the town hall at the Black Baptist Church.
Right.
And I don't know if it was a Baptist. It was a black church. And so anyway, Trump goes in there for the first time in like American history, political history. The candidate did not shuck and jive. He didn't like sing a spiritual hymn. He
or
didn't
talk
have
about
like a
hot
preacher
sauce in
voice.
His,
yeah,
in his
exactly,
purse.
Exactly. He was the same Donald Trump that you see, you know, down at Mar-a-Lago, and people love that authenticity. And you know, he's not pandering, and I think that's one of the reasons why he's doing so well in minority communities right now.
Right. I think he has something like 24% of the black.
Huge.
I've pulled, and under 50. Those under 50.
And granted, so the media will say, well, you know, well, Trump, he's still trailing. Yeah, but no, that's not the story. The story is that Biden support has plummeted. I mean, down Biden supporting among young black men under the age of 50, down something like 60%.
Yep.
That's huge.
Well, they can smell phonies. I mean, good heavens.
Oh, yeah.
Black people are people, so they smell phoniness a mile away, and they love genuineness. They don't, and they have used, many of them that are the race baiters, have used the pandering of white people for years to their benefit, but some of them are sick of it, and as we all are. All right, so Todd, so here we go. You really think Biden is going to stay in this race?
No.
You really think that? So,
So it's crazy. And I saw him, they had him filmed coming off of Air Force One going to Camp David, and he's going to be ensconced there until the debate. And he looked just defeated, you know, coming down the stairs. There was no barreling down the stairs. Look, here's the problem, and it's not Joe Biden. The problem is Kamala Harris. Otherwise, Biden would have already been gone. But everybody knows, even the most radical Democrats, that woman is slap crazy nuts, and she has no business being anywhere near the Oval Office. So the question is, okay, they keep Biden. What happens to Kamala Harris? And is it possible they could replace her with someone like a Hillary Clinton, who has sort of resurfaced? And we have seen, you know, pantsuit spottings all over, you know, the Eastern Seaboard. So something's going on there.
I know there's that suspicion, but I can't see them doing that. The Democrats have come so far. She lost to him already. She's a horrible candidate. I really think they're going to bring, look, okay, laugh at me if you want, but I think they're going to pull a rabbit out of the hat. And I know a lot of people have talked about Michelle Obama. It could be Michelle Obama. It could also be like someone, don't laugh. This is silly, but it's life is silly right now. Politics are silly. Taylor Swift, someone who's huge.
Oh my God.
Someone who's got like some kind of a following amongst the masses that will be just thrilled that they're going to be. George Clooney, I don't know. He'll pick someone who's got star power, and that'll be a huge problem.
Could be. Could be. I don't know. We will see. The Democrats are in trouble. I mean, there are some scenarios I've heard where, you know, even the Republicans may pick somebody else. You know, that Trump goes to prison and establishment Republicans might swoop in and do, you know, pull a fast one.
Oh, now here's the thing about establishment Republicans. I just heard yesterday the NRSCC, which is, of course, the Senate campaign fund, usually overseen by Mitch McConnell, although he's gone.
Yeah.
Silent. I don't know who's doing his job right now, but he's been quiet. But they're notoriously not in Donald Trump's camp. They're not MAGA. They're not, you know, they hate the Tea Party. I don't just say that as an aside. Mitch McConnell said that. They hate that movement. And they're enemies of the conservative movement. They are. So guess what? They are going to spend $100 million, Todd, on ads for the Senate, senators. Now, that sounds good, right? But you know what? That's what they did. Remember, that's what they did 4 years ago under Karl Rove's direction.
Yeah.
They always run ads because they have no grassroots. So they spend all of this money. The consultants get rich. The companies get rich. And they push the worst kind of candidates. So I'm not excited about that.
It's a tough situation in the Republican Party. And this is a story that hasn't gone... It hasn't been widely reported, but there's a lot of turmoil within the Republican Party between the conservatives and the populist. I think when you look at President Trump, I think he has said that he's not a conservative. The question is, what does this party look like post 2024? Is this going to be a party of populism? And if that's the case, the evangelicals are going to need to wake up because they're losing the fight and they're losing their power base within the party, especially with younger Republicans coming up through the ranks, and they are not as committed to some of these key culture war issues. So that's going to be a big fight moving forward.
Well, there's going to be a huge fight at the convention, Republican convention, over the platform.
Yes.
You know that. The platform is really good. It's great. Phyllis Schlafly guarded that thing for decades. And it's natural marriage between a man and a woman. It's an abortion protection for babies and all of that. But now... even the powers that be behind President Trump are trying to change that.
So
I'm not saying President Trump is, but
No, no, no. But to that point, I was giving a speech in near Nashville just a couple of weeks ago, a big Republican gathering, and there were some people that pulled me aside and said, are you aware of the fight that's happening with the platform, specifically on the issue of marriage? And there will be a move at the convention to reconfigure that language.
I think they'll do the same thing on abortion. Well, that'll be turmoil, and people will be so upset. It will affect the vote, the enthusiasm, the grassroots, the people that actually get out and work and knock on doors.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, when you look at the Faith and Freedom Coalition, they knocked on more doors than the entire RNC did, their entire apparatus. I don't know how Ralph Reed and Tim do it. I don't know how they do it. But you're right, it's the grassroots. And they risk losing that if they change that language.
So I've just as a Christian, I'll say to those of you listening, this is a matter of prayer, because I'm telling you, the inside battle is really ugly, and there's no need for you to know about all of it, because what's the difference? You can't really do anything about it.
Yeah.
This is an inside game, but we need to pray, because there's some really great people trying to push back and keep it a good platform.
Yeah. And I'm hoping, and I think sanity will prevail. I don't think they want to fracture the party. So
yeah, I hope that's true.
Yeah.
All right, so any last wisdoms for us? I didn't say that your radio show, it's the Todd Starnes radio show, it's out of Memphis, but it's a national show.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So you have you're in other markets.
Yeah, so 165 markets.
Okay.
And we have a good time, noon to 3 Eastern.
Okay.
And folks can go to our website, toddstearns.com. They can listen there. They can watch on Rumble. So it's a lot of fun.
Then also Newsmax. You're on Newsmax, which I've had the privilege of being your guest a couple of times. It's been great. Todd, where's your coffee? Still not here, right?
No, my coffee's not here. Yeah, I'm starting to slow down now.
Okay, I just want to ask you, this is a personal question, and then I promise I won't chat with you much longer because you do need to get some coffee. I know you're tired. How did you end up at Fox? I don't even know. I think I've never asked you that question.
It is the craziest God story it's just insane. I never in a million years had any inclination of going to New York, working at the network, was not even on my radar. That is not something that, you know, my dream job was to own a small weekly newspaper in a southern town. That was the extent of my dream. And anyway, I was in Sacramento. I was anchoring the news and got sick, thought I had bronchitis, went to the doctor. The doctor said I was 37 years old. And the doctor said, you don't have bronchitis. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. He goes, no, you're in the early stages of heart failure. And I'm like, what? Wait, what? And so I had been born with a defective aortic heart valve.
Did you know that?
Never knew it. Never knew it. And the cough was a cardiac cough, and I was in the final stages of heading up to glory.
Oh, my gosh.
So they did open heart surgery, and they asked me to do a series just kind of based on getting ready for the surgery and recovery and the whole nine yards, and I agreed to do that. At the time, Fox News was looking at launching a radio network, and so these were all kind of happening at the same time. And so my bosses at what was then Clear Channel, now iHeart, entered my stories into the Edward R. Murrow, the RT&DA competition. And the people judging it just happened to be the people that were starting Fox News Radio. And it won the Murrow that year. And so my heart surgery was May 17th, 2005. And by September, they had flown me down to New York. My cardiologist was like, Todd, you are nuts. You can't even drive yet. You know, this is dangerous. And I thought, but, you know, it's Fox. So I went, and I'll never forget, it was so embarrassing. And my cardiologist was right, and I just remember sweating profusely. I mean, just, I couldn't stop, and my body was like, what have you done to us? And I remember I went in for the interview, and I took a towel from the hotel, this big, thick plush towel, and I'm like mopping my face with it. And I thought, at least I got a free trip out of this whole mess. And then they called 2 weeks later, and they're like, we want to hire you. And
so it's Fox Radio first, and then that's how it started. I didn't.
Yeah. So Fox was launching the, they were using TV anchors, and they realized TV people can't really do good radio. So they decided, we've got to fix this. And so I was the original overnight news anchor at Fox Radio. And then over the course of time, they realized my stories were really reminiscent of Paul Harvey. He died, I think it was 07, 08, or somewhere in that time span. And they sat down and said, hey, we'd like for you to start doing these commentaries. And I started doing that. And then, you know, the column at foxnews.com, and then the appearances on the channel. And then they gave me a show towards the end. So I had a great time there. It was a lot of fun. And just a wild and crazy, you know, time. You know, I mean, you were there.
I know.
A lot of fun.
I was just thinking as you were saying that. See, I was with Fox as a contributor then. And when they started the Fox Network, they talked to me about taking Tony Snow's place. Remember, Tony Snow died suddenly?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And Tony Snow was on the radio side, so he was doing a radio show.
Yes. And Bill Shine, did you work with Bill? Bill was the head of news division.
Bill and I were texting last night. What a great guy.
Yeah. So I became friends with Bill. Isn't that something? Well, okay. How did being with Fox... It takes you out of your whole environment.
Yeah.
How did that change your life?
Well, I mean, radically changed it. You know, the platform they give you, and for me, it was a matter of authenticity, you know, and maybe I was naive in that aspect of knowing. I thought, well, gosh, everybody here is a conservative Christian. And I realized, actually, somebody told me that maybe 0.5% exactly. of the building would share our beliefs. And yeah. So that's, you know, looking back, I'm like, how did I not know that? You know, but.
Well, we assumed from other states when it started. I did, too. I learned a lot, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it is, right? I mean, they're just human. They're people. You know, it is.
Right.
But I really learned to treat people well. And one of the things we learn in this business is you have friends, and then you have people who are friends with your job. And it's important to know that distinction. And whenever I'm lecturing students, I tell them that, you know, you've got to understand this. And I just made a decision not to be that kind of a person. So whenever we do a speaking engagement, churches are never charged. We never do any of that. So we're just very careful about, you know, making sure that we're helping local ministries when we're coming in, and we're not like a hindrance. So, you know, the Lord is blessed. You know, Fox was good to me, and, you know, it was a fun ride.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think you have to write that book. It may not be ready yet, but I think you have to write that book, Todd.
Yeah.
Because that's great stuff.
I'll never forget. It was 2005 that I had heart surgery. The next year, my dad died suddenly. And then the next year, my mom passed away suddenly.
Oh,
it was just like boom, boom, boom. And so anyway, my mom was a great cook. And she loved my favorite sweet potato pie. And so anyway, one day I was walking around Central Park. It was kind of tough. You know, you're going through a lot. And so anyway, I was sort of having a pity party. And I remember I was walking by a bakery, and I just caught a whiff. I don't know. I think they were making sweet potato pie or something, because it smelled that cinnamon, you know.
Yeah.
And I just stopped, and I smiled, and it reminded me of that verse, God's mercies. It was like 7 in the morning. I was the overnight anchor, you know, 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. So I was walking in the park, and what is that verse? You know, God's mercies are new every morning. And sometimes, you know, Sandy, they smell just like sweet potato pie. You know, that's the kind of God, you know, that we serve. It's been a good ride.
I love that. I love that. Well, he talks about, I should just be quiet, and that's a great way to end. But I just think of the savor, sweet-smelling savor, the incense, the smells, everything. God is in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so,
true.
Well, Todd Stearns, this has been great. And let me just say, toddstearns.com. You can find his books, especially the last one, Twilight's Last Gleaming. You can find his radio show. You can certainly find out how to catch him on Newsmax. And thank you. This has been great.
This has been a lot of fun.
This is fun.
I love it.
Yeah, all right. Well, so thank you, Todd.
All right, Sandy.
All right, Sandy Rios from Sandy Rios 24/7.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. You know, abortion telehealth has become increasingly available. And that combined with the accessibility of the abortion pill, legal abortions actually have increased in the United States after the overturning of Dobbs. Can you believe that? According to the Guttmacher Institute, by the way, Guttmacher is, you know, like a think tank. Yes, but they are the outreach of Planned Parenthood. So trust me, their stats are interesting and not always a trustworthy institute. But according to their own stats, over 1 million babies were aborted in 2023, the highest since 2012. With the availability of the abortion pill now available at local pharmacies through the mail, a woman's bathroom has become the scene of the crime where she tragically expels her child. And so that's why preborn is so important right now, because they can bypass all of these rules and regulations and really appeal to a woman's heart and mind by showing her a picture of her baby in utero in really wonderful detail. And most of these moms choose to keep their babies when they see that. Or adopt them out. It usually goes either way, but it's a beautiful way to save lives and save moms and their hearts and their minds and their emotions for their lifetime, really. I don't think, because most women, according to stats, really never get quite over an abortion. Some of them do. They don't care. Doesn't matter. But many of them take this into their, you know, their senior years, the regret they have. And there are consequences that they didn't foresee when they made that decision. So this is a great way of helping women and saving babies. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. And make your most generous donation. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Todd. I certainly did enjoy it. We had a good time. And I always feel, as a radio host, now that I've done it for so many years, well, I know I'm a podcast host. Forgive me, I forget. I'm not a radio host anymore. I'm a podcast host. Nevertheless, it still applies that if I'm having a really good conversation with a guest and I'm enjoying it, usually listeners are enjoying it. So I kind of think you're going to enjoy that one. So we spent a lot of time at the Washington Hilton, and it did bring a lot of, it brought a lot of memories back to me, because actually that's where I stayed, Bruce and I stayed, when we went for the inauguration of President Trump in 2016. So that hotel has hosted a lot of historic events. A lot of, you know, hotels in D.C. can say that, but Washington Hilton's been around a long time, so that was a good thing. And we did some really fascinating interviews that are coming up this week. Professor John Kent, I reconnected with him after many years. He's from Chicago, and guess what we talked about? We talked about gambling. When's the last time you thought about the implications or the damage gambling has done to the culture? Probably, maybe, never. I don't know. But we're going to talk about that, and it will really surprise you. Plus, I have kind of a personal story about John that we'll tell as we do that. Pastor Mark Harris joined us. He's running for Congress. He is the Republican candidate from his district. Fascinating conversation with him. Alveda King, Dr. Martin Luther King's niece. And Demetrius Gross, he's the star of the new movie, the Angel Studio movie, Sound of Hope. And boy, did we have a great conversation. So that's just an idea. It gives you an idea of what's coming up here that I hope that you will enjoy. But today, we're finished. I hope you enjoyed that time with Todd. I want to thank our sponsors. Timothy Plan is our new sponsor. Put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Okay, thanks for listening. Remember, you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can listen all kinds of ways. You can go to sandyrios.com. That's a really easy way. You can find us on social media. And you can write me at sandy@afr.net. Thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.